This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Daily Coin. My name is Rory, and today is Monday, October the 2nd, 2017. Have the very distinct honor and great pleasure of welcoming back to the show, for the first time in way too long a time, the silver guru himself, Mr. David Morgan. David, welcome back.
Rory, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and unfortunately, it's a very solemn kind of day with the events that have happened in Vegas, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and loved ones of the victims of the events that have happened in Vegas. Not really going to discuss that. I just wanted to recognize that. And would you like to recognize that as well, David?
Well, yes, I do. I just want to recognize all the victims, and there are victims in our society, and it's a shame that these things happen, and I'll leave it at that.
And I want to ask you real quick, because you just released your latest edition of the Morgan Report, and at the very beginning of that, you were talking about this. It seems to continue to morph, this oil yuan gold contract that's supposed to be out of China that I've been saying is not exactly there. I can't find anything to support that narrative, and you discussed it in the Morgan Report. And if you would, David, just share your thoughts on what you found regarding this.
Well, certainly, and you're actually integral in this, Rory, as you know. But when I first read, I think the report on, I think it was on Zero Hedge, there's been so many duplications of this original one, but I actually did see the original one from the Nikkei Asian Review. And I ran with it. I did my podcast and devoted my whole 10-minute podcast to the weekly perspective I've been doing on iTunes, and also post on our YouTube channel, Silver Guru, thinking this was a huge game changer, with it, which it would or could be if it were absolutely true. But upon further investigation, the following week, I did a retraction, or at least a partial retraction, because it turns out that my friend Kuz Jansen, who we've had on the Mastermind series a couple of times, and Lewis, and I won't pronounce his last name, from Schmall Gold, I actually talked with him directly, both have indicated correctly that there's really no vetting on the part of the Nikkei Asian Review for anything coming directly from the Chinese authorities that says anything about this oil benchmark being backed by gold. It's basically something that this guy wrote with his editor not taking responsibility to say, hey, where is your source? There is no source. And from that point forward, a lot of very respected websites and news services have run with this whole story, when in fact, the story, from at least what I know today, subject to change, I suppose, but I doubt it, is basically a rumor that started that's been picked up by almost everyone.
Yes, and that's been my understanding as well. And Louis Camarasano over at Schmall Gold and Kuz Jansen, I spoke directly with both of them as well. And as you're aware, David, Kuz actually issued a statement through the Daily Coin regarding what he had learned from the author of the article, which is, there's nothing to it. He basically made up the story. He has no sources for the information. And unfortunately, like you said, we've all kind of ran with it. And for the past several weeks, I've been backtracking and trying to keep it out in front of people that this, you're going to have to help me to understand why or how this is possible. Because the implications of this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or help me to understand this, David, the implications of such a contract would be monumental. And as Hugo Salinas Price just said in a King World News article just yesterday that was published Sunday evening, that, quote, if this were to be true, end quote, then this would mean World War III. And that's the way that I see it, because they're going to, all of a sudden, the entire monetary system changes at that moment. That's, or am I wrong?
Well, you know, Hugo and I are pretty close, and I've always respected him from day one, had the honor to meet him face-to-face years and years ago. And we've, you know, had other meetings from time to time, usually in a public forum, like a dinner for speakers or something. But no, I wouldn't say no. I would say that if you go through history and you look at the wars that are fought, and I have to digress and say, Mike Rivero does that great free documentary, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. Type that into a search engine and watch that. But all wars being bankers' wars, you go back to what do they want? And there's a lot of subsets, but sometimes it's just gold. So as Hugo says, if this it is true, then you're basically looking at a dynamic that is a war over gold in a way. And I would say that's kind of what I implied in my 10-minute diatribe about this when I believed it was factual. I said, if you go back in history, you look at what the Arabs were doing. They were getting really screwed out of their oil for these pieces of paper that they didn't trust, but they did trust gold. And Kissinger went over there and kissed it and made it better by saying, look, we got this plan. If you use dollars only, we will give you military protection. And all you have to do with all your excess dollars is buy more of them, just the 30-year out variety. In other words, go into the bond market with your excess capital, and they bought into this whole situation. And on went the petrodollar for years and years and years. So circling all the way back, yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. Is it, you know, it's a strong opinion. I tend to agree with it. I mean, I don't want to, you know, slice it up because it doesn't bear. I think the big broad perspective is correct, and I'll just stick with that.
Yes, I'm with you on that, David. And I wanted to stay with the Morgan Report for just a minute. And you recently, I can't remember who the interview was with, but you had discussed, you had touched on zinc and cobalt. And these are two metals that you cover in the Morgan Report, and they're two metals that are outside of precious metals. Obviously, they're just base metals, but you seem to think that they have a significant, that they're going to be playing a significant role as far as wealth protection and wealth generation in the coming months and years. And if you would help us to understand that a little bit better.
Well, certainly. First of all, thank you for that, Roy. You know, when I started the Morgan Report years ago, I mean, and it still does focus a great deal of attention on the precious metals, but we, from the beginning, looked at all resources except the energy sector. And even there, we've actually made a coal recommendation and one oil, but basically we do all the minerals. So we've done, in fact, we were the first to report about the rare earth elements before it caught fire and became a real subset of the resource sector. So going back to zinc, Chris Marchese, who's our chief equity analyst, told me, I didn't know it, that there would be a zinc shortage because, you know, we do our homework. And so we wrote a white paper for the Morgan Report members about zinc and the upcoming shortage. And we found, or he found actually, a great company that has a great zinc exposure with very strong silver credits, because silver, there are no such thing as a pure silver mine. There's primary silver mines where the bottom line income statement is based on 50% or greater revenue due to silver, but it's a silver zinc mine, silver lead mine, lead zinc silver, copper silver, gold silver. It's never silver only. Anyway, back on point, zinc has about as many uses for it as silver. In fact, if you go back to the early days of the Silver Institute, back when I was more welcomed to the events and actually asked to speak in the early days, it was really a zinc silver event, even though silver was the only word in the title. And zinc has just tons of uses. You can look it up on the internet. I won't describe them all, but it's a very, very important and very well used metal and tons of uses. Going into cobalt, we did a kind of a white paper again on the energy metals. We looked at cobalt, we looked at lithium, we looked at vanadium, we looked at some of these exotics. And the main point there, Roy, as you know, is basically how do you store energy? If you're in a passive system like solar and you generate more power than you consume, because the grid is basically always there and wastes energy to some degree. They try to fine tune it as much as possible, which means if you have X demand, you got X plus 5% being produced because you don't want to run out. But that 5% really doesn't go anywhere. it's basically there and is wasted. So if you have facilities that are efficiently available to store the excess energy, then you're not, you know, wasting it. And of course, this has become known for a long time. The general public's not aware of it, but there's a lot of work into it, spearheaded primarily by the lithium proponents, and that's basically through Tesla. Nothing against lithium. However, for long-term storage, there's actually better places to store, and vanadium is actually one as well, which we just did an interview with somebody that's got a vanadium project, and that's the type of thing that we do in the Morgan Report. But cobalt's important as well. I was probably the first one to interview Marianne Green, who was one of the founders of Formation Minerals, and that was on our list years and years and years ago. Now I think it's called E-Cobalt, but those things don't pass us by. Do we get them right 100% of the time? No. Do we miss things? Possibly, but not much. And so I probably over-talked it, Roy, but yes, thanks for bringing it to everyone's attention, because the reason I moved to the Morgan Report from the Silver Investor was people had the idea that silver is the only thing I know and the only thing that we do, and it's far from that.
Far from it. It's a very detailed report, and I'm very grateful that you're doing it, because it's really an invaluable tool to understanding the bigger picture of what's going on out there. And your nickname is not the silver guru for nothing. It's because you know these metals, and like you said, it's not just about silver. It's about the metals in general. You know, the base metals and the precious metals. But speaking of the precious metals, I'm sure you're well aware, David, that over the course of the past couple of months, and this is something that I've discussed with a number of people over the past few weeks, and I'm going to continue discussing it, because I just feel like it's a huge, huge signpost in the development of what is happening with the precious metals. And you can help me to understand if I'm right or if I'm wrong or if I'm on the right track or not. But going back to the middle of July, you had Terry Duffy come out, the president of the CME group, and say that gold, physical gold, should be priced between $5,000 and $6,000. Then you had Wall Street Journal on the front page of the Wall Street Journal had this article about what's going on at the Federal Reserve with and Ronan Manley, John Embry, and James Turk were all interviewed. And then a couple weeks later, you had Steve Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury, glad gold is safe. And Goldman Sachs saying physical gold, it's your, you know, greatest hedge against inflation. Then you have the World Gold Council come out and say physical gold may have peaked. So you've got, and I'm sure I'm overlooking one or two of the articles, because there was a total of seven that I've been tracking. But and in the middle of all this was this article that we started the conversation with about this oil yuan gold-backed contract that seems to be that just kind of materialized out of the ether. What do you think? What is your opinion, or what do you see through analysis of all of this gold, this physical gold, not paper gold, physical gold news articles that they just keep coming? And these are coming from people that typically hate gold, and these are high profile executives, including the Secretary of the Treasury. What is your take on all of this?
Well, first, the facts are, as you stated, I mean, the articles can be looked up by anybody for verification. And what I'm about to say from this point further would be my opinion. But it's what Brian Tracy would call a trial balloon, or better known to the public as predictive programming. I am not certain that the powers that be know exactly which way they want to take this monetary system to the next level. They all know it's collapsing. They're not idiots. And they're going to try to control as long as possible, because it's about control more than it is about money at this point. But gold is certainly an important part. And because of that fact, they're going to put out these trial balloons or this predictive programming, or work with your subconscious to think about gold at least at some level. And that gives them what I'll call an ace in the hole. So whether they plan to use it or not, it's been broadcast by high-level authorities, as you stated, broadly based over the general population so that if it does need to come to the fore or is already planned to come to the fore, that people are not shocked that gold all of a sudden moves or is reset, let's say, to 3,000 an ounce or 5,000 an ounce, that there's going to be, I doubt this statement, again, opinion, quote unquote, an audit of the gold at Fort Knox or a verification of it or whatever. But certainly, Roy, I believe strongly that there is a setup here that gold is going to be in the equation in some way, shape, or form. And again, I'm not certain that they know exactly how they want it to be integrated into the next step in this financial system, but it's there. And they're programming everybody to accept it.
I tend to agree with that. And that's kind of what Lynette Zhang was saying in a recent interview that I conducted with her. And do you think that, and part of me says, David, that this oil, yuan, gold contract deal that, like I said, it materialized right in the middle of all this. There's no source material to back up this story. However, it's surrounded by everything that these high-level executives or high-profile executives are discussing regarding physical gold. This supposed contract is supposedly going to be backed by physical gold, where the Chinese are going to make some kind of deal offshore outside of China, where they're going to, you know, get gold for this contract. It's so convoluted at this point. But my point is that it's now part of this mix. And as far as the trial balloon aspect of it, or the signaling of what is to come, I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I see it coming possibly as soon as the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. Am I in dangerous territory as far as throwing out some kind of date? But that's kind of what it looks like. You know, we've got cryptocurrencies going on. We've got all this gold talk going on. We've got monetary issues globally. It's just a whole host of items that are all converging. It can't possibly continue much longer, or can it?
Well, I think no one truthfully knows the answer, but you know, you're never supposed to give a date, or especially a price and a date. Of course, I've done that.
Never.
it's part of the deal. I mean, you know, people expect me to, and I certainly do my best. But no, I agree. I have looked at this over and over, and yeah, I've changed my dates at times, I admit it. And I certainly was wrong when we peaked in 2011. I caught the exact top. I wasn't wrong about the top. I wasn't wrong about hedging. I wasn't wrong about protecting your positions and all of that. What I was wrong about was how long the downtrend would be. I expected 2 to 3 years. It's really been five or so. Regardless, yes, 2018, I think, will be a sea change. It'll be a shift. I don't know if there'll be one event that we can point to and say, oh, that's it. I doubt that. I think it'll be right. A subtle shift. And all of a sudden, the my start. My, gold is getting near its old high. My, gold's up, you know, over 1,500. My, gold's up at 1,800. Oh, my. Silver had one of the largest up days on largest volume in the last 10 years. My. So once the my start, I think it will be in 2018. And as you said, by the end of 2018, will there be some type of latch to gold or not? I don't know, but I'll go with you and stick my neck out even further because I'm used to it. And I like to prepare people, you know, chance favors the prepared mind.
Yes.
So
yes.
Let's prepare our minds. There'll be at least more rhetoric that you've already outlined all the way through about it. And people be advised that if an official source says that they're not going to do something three times publicly, like in the New York Times, we will not go back on a gold standard. We will not go back on a gold standard. We will not go back on a gold standard. I'm not saying writing that sentence three times in a row. I'm saying three separate occasions. You know, you can almost be guaranteed that will happen. Now, I'm not saying we're going back on a gold standard. We won't. I'm pretty emphatic about that. But we will go back most likely on some type of gold tie, which means a basket of currencies, a global currency tied to gold and oil. Who knows? But I really do believe, to repeat what we said and you said about Lynette, is there will be this tie to gold because people will be distrusting currency so much, probably led by the U.S. dollar's further failure into the dustbin of history, being a fiat, pure fiat currency, that whatever rises out of the ashes, be it some kind of crypto or whatever, because I don't think anyone knows at this point, there will be some tie to gold, I'm almost certain.
I feel that it will be as well. And personally, I think that it will be the SDR, that the basket of currencies that you referenced right there, David. I think that that's your basket of currencies. I think that what will happen is that gold will be added to the SDR basket of currencies, and that that will be the backstop for the monetary changes that we're going to see over 2018 and into 2019. The IMF has made it very clear that by 2021, that they want to see a digital currency. So what that means, I'm not exactly sure at this point. That's what I'm actually researching right now, what their moves are in regards to blockchain and cryptocurrencies and digital currencies, because they are different, and how this ties into the SDR. That's what I see. I see the SDR as being part of the global monetary system. Whether what role it's going to play, I'm not exactly sure at this point, but I believe that it will play a part, and I believe that gold will be part of that. Or do you think that the SDR is just a bunch of nonsense?
Well, how do I answer this? I think that what you outlined is certainly something they'll try. I mean, Jim Rickards has gone on that down that road for quite some time. The problem with the SDR is, if you think it through, it's the ultimate fiat currency, because yes, when you go and you back fiat currency by the full faith and credit of the United States, okay, we hear that saying, well, it doesn't matter if we're on gold or not, we're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States, which means that the District of Criminals, Washington, D.C., ability to tax everybody into oblivion is the full faith and credit. So it's the ability of the power source to control everybody, to pay everything that they have, just like serfs, to the federal government. That's what the full faith and credit means. So now if you go and you bankrupt a country, and that's, of course, taking place globally. So now if you go one step further and you go to the SDR, then what backs the SDR? Nothing. There are no populace to tax into oblivion. So now you can hyperinflate to infinity, and there's no one to pay the price for it. It's just the bankers putting out this legal fiction again and again and again. So it really causes problems from a philosophical perspective, but from a control perspective, it's the ultimate. The only question I would have at this point, Rory, is, will the people buy into it or not? And excuse my arrogance, but I've studied this topic for 40 years. You know, monetary history is one of my passions. And I would say that, yeah, I think they could pull it off. Doesn't mean they would. If it fails, I'm sure they probably have a plan B.
See, I think that if it has 10%, 15%, 20% gold tied to it, then which is on the table. Chatham House, which is one of their think tanks, has proposed that. Or do you think that having gold associated with it wouldn't do anything?
No, I agree. I mean, look, it's a confidence game. I mean, right. Now, I wrote an article years ago, still on my site, not on Google somewhere, about dollar.com. It was a reference to not really the cryptos at the time. I wasn't that far-sighted, but it was about gold being a confidence factor. So if you lose confidence in the global currency or the reserve currency, which is a dollar, and this is planned, they know they're going to take it down.
Yes.
Then how do you instantly regain confidence? Well, most people don't know enough about gold. That's why, going back to this conversation, that's why you have minutiae and others from the World Gold Council and all these interviews taking place to set the scene, to get this predictive programming. So people become familiar and they start to associate with gold giving, regaining confidence. And once that's in place, then they've done the cognitive map. They've done your thinking for you. You don't have to think. Just watch the tube or listen to, you know, whatever, the New York Times or whatever, Washington Post. You'll get the right programming. So once that's set in place where the, let's say, majority of the non-thinkers out there have the idea programmed into them that gold is going to restore confidence, then all they have to do is take one system down and say, look, this SDR is backed by 20% gold, and away we go. And all of a sudden, they don't even know why that's a great idea. Yeah, gold. Yeah, we used to be on a gold standard. I just learned that recently, you know. Well, you were just programmed recently. But that's, I think, what will take place.
Will it be something to benefit the people? Probably not. But at least we'll have gold as part of it. That will at least rein it in to some degree anyway, the theft and the overall bastardization of our entire monetary system and currency system. Or is it just going to be just a, or would they still be able to just do wholesale theft the way that they're doing right now?
Oh, I think it's all about control, and I think it's keeping them in control. I mean, I have to quote one of the better thinkers in you know, our peer group, long deceased now, but Michael Rupert, unless you change the way money works, you've changed nothing. And so if you change it to an SDR, you don't change the way it works. You still do a debt-based system. You still have usury. You still have the enslavement of the people, because in order to afford something expensive, they have to go into debt. So unless that changes, we've really changed nothing. Oh, we change the players. And yes, it's tied to gold, and on it goes. And having that's probably better than a pure fiat. But again, I was thinking about the interview and, you know, the goldsmiths. I mean, they had 100% backing of gold. And then they found that only really 10% of the people ever asked for the gold. So they started being dishonest. Remember, I mean, everyone needs to remember this. You know, what made America, I'm going to digress, Rory, but I know you'll let me. Number one, what made America great was the integrity of the people. And number two, remember, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, more powerful than the truth. And the truth is that going to an SDR doesn't change the way money works. And that's what we need to change.
Well said. Well said. And a great way of ending this really powerful interview, David. I really appreciate all your time today. And folks, please go over to the Morgan Report. Check it out. Sign up. David, don't you have a free trial that goes with it?
I do have a free report on silver at themorganreport.com. And if you're more broad-based than that, I have another web page called Riches in Resources, all one word, richesinresources.com. And either one will get you on our free email list. And we do give good content, like this interview, for example. After Rory's done with it, we'll post it so you don't have to look for it. We'll just send it to you every weekend.
Sounds great. And David? Certainly appreciate all your time. Is there anything you want to leave them with before we let them go?
I guess I will reiterate that, you know, there's a difference between power and force. Government is force, and we have the power. And all you have to do is execute that power. And the best way to execute that power is speaking from the heart and speaking the truth. That little step multiplied by the 7 billion on the planet, believe it, from my at least idealistic perspective, could make a huge change. Is everybody going to do that? Of course not. We're humans. But just doing it yourself, what can you change in yourself that would make a difference? And that's something that would make a difference. And that's something about our community, Roy. I see for the large part, you know, whether it's you or it's Sean or anybody that has a big following on the internet, you know, you are willing to hear the other side. You are willing to hear other ideas. It might not be in total agreement. Heck, I don't agree with everybody on everything. What a boring world that would be, you know? I mean, you know, I have my detractors and I know that. And I've changed my opinion on things because my opinion wasn't studied. I don't have much of an opinion on much other than what my professional work is about, because most of the stuff that's out there, I don't have time to do enough research to form an opinion. But what do you think about it? I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it. You don't? No, I don't. Anyway, I'll leave with that.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, David. And I think that is, once again, great, great ending point, and have a great afternoon, and we will talk with you soon.
Thank you, Rory. Thanks for having me.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.